Hey, you guys, it's me, Bonnie, the host of the Grieving Girl podcast, and we have a special guest today, Lachelle Jones.
Hello.
Ooh, insert applause. So you guys, one, we went to college together. How fun.
We did. We had a good old time together.
You know, it's St. Patrick's Day weekend.
It is. I thought about that on the way here.
Wow. Remember what we were up to?
I think there was glitter involved.
I'm sure there was. I literally was walking the streets this morning being like, wow, it's so gorgeous out. If I was in college, I'd be a monster right
outside, day drinking.
Period.
Done.
But here it is. It's 1 o'clock on a Saturday, and we're going to sit down and talk about our trauma and our
grief. Adult.
How things have changed, okay? All right, so basically, we're going to lay this out how we always do. Michelle's going to tell us how she's grieving. We're going to link it to the season, which is Let Them Grieve, Please and Thank You. And, you know, if it's getting long and we need a brain break, we'll take a brain break.
We'll take one.
Okay. All right. So, Latch, spill the tea. What are we grieving?
The tea is that I'm grieving a divorce. We talked about how I asked for a divorce in March. Fast forward to August, I was officially divorced. And then just all of the trauma.
The fallout.
That comes with that. The fallout. The stuff that you don't even realize you're going through, and then you like have to just sit with it and you're like, oh. And just because like you're the one who initiates the divorce, which I think is a misconception for a lot of people, they're like, oh no, they'll be fine, you're good. But there was a whole process I still had to go through, even though I was the one that was like, this is not working, we're all done. There was still grieving.
Yeah. Do you find that you are sitting with more of the grief of the fallout, or do you think that you deal with more grief and trauma of like the time that you were together married?
Definitely the fallout. And okay. More of like, it was more grief around like this life I had planned out for myself and then did not get. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, when you think about like the five stages of grieving, you think about grieving someone who has died. And like, then I had to realize, oh, that also applies to this situation. So like the anger around like, this is the life I laid out for myself. I did not get it. I did not have someone who was willing to give it to me. Mm-hmm. And then you're just pissed off and angry. Are we allowed to curse?
Oh, please.
Okay.
If you're under 21 and you're listening to this, I would assume that you've heard some shit already, so I'm not worried about you hearing a curse word.
Yes, I love it. Love it here.
And it's also like, I mean, you're a mother, so it's also grieving the like, now the whole plan you had around having a kid and how that was going to look like has now changed. And it's almost like you grieve for your kid.
Yeah,
who
absolutely.
Obviously isn't going to know what that is supposed to look like because he's so little.
Exactly. But, so it was like mom guilt over like, oh, I was supposed to give him this kind of life and like I'm not giving that to him. But to be quite honest, I'm giving him better than I could have given him by staying in that situation, because it's like, do I want my kid to see me with his father and miserable or by myself and happy?
Right.
And I'd much rather him see me by myself and like having peace and not being stressed out all the time and like sad and depressed. So
totally.
We're good. We're in a good spot with that.
What do you think, if you had to pick like one piece and be like, this was the hardest part, is it the like, the moving out, the lack of communication? Is it the sharing custody? Like, what is the hardest part in your grief in your divorce? Like, because it's so nuanced.
Yeah,
there's like so much.
There's
like,
so much. But I think a hard part is like the sharing.
Mm.
Like this year we went and took Christmas pictures and it was just me and RJ and our Christmas pictures. And then like, I was like, oh, this was like such a fun memory for the two of us. But then like a week later it was Christmas Eve and I had to hand him off and not open Christmas presents with him on Christmas morning and not, you know, do our typical Christmas Eve and Christmas morning stuff. So I was like, oh, I have to share you with someone else. And like Easter is what, next week?
Yeah.
Next week. And like, I don't have him for Easter. So like the traditions that we have, I'm like, oh, I have to kind of morph that and make it something different and still keep it together somehow. But yeah, that was the hardest part. The like, oh, now I don't have him all the time. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the the new, do you watch Vanderpump at all?
No.
So Lala, who went through a pretty bad like divorce, has a baby with her. I don't know if they were married, but we'll call him baby daddy because I don't really know. She just got a sperm donor because she wants to have another child.
Good for her.
And people were like, well, who's the sperm donor? Who's the daddy? And she was like, the thing is like the best part of my baby daddy is that he does not exist because I don't want to share my child with anyone else. Like that, this baby is an absolute because she's like so traumatized, I guess, from having to like give and take, you know, her baby to and from. Also, like they hate, she hates the ex,
which makes it so much harder.
Right. So like, I don't know if that's like a layer for you, but there is a lot of resentment, I think, period. So the co-parenting is not like a blissful co-parenting situation.
Yeah.
It seems from the paparazzi, LOL, and tabloids and Instagram. Like that's where I'm getting this source. But,
and I think we were like super optimistic and probably a little naive going into divorce. Like, oh no, we're still going to be great friends and great co-parents and this and that. And then like, as things come up and like you're bumping heads, you're like, wow, we were delusional to think that like things like this would work. Like we're starting to talk about like vacations and like it'll be RJ's like first big vacation and his first plane ride and his first time to Disney. And I'm like, do I have to sit this out? Because, you know, there's just all these other all these other things going on about who will be there and who will be included. And but I talked to my therapist. Everyone should have one. And
if you don't, you should. I don't. This is honestly kind of my therapy.
But you have an outlet.
Yeah.
So as long as you have an outlet, whatever. But I was just like, she was like, you have to maybe talk about some conditions that will make it safe for you to go. So I'm working that out now. And if we haven't talked about it by the time this podcast is released, there's a convo coming, sir.
Wow. Awkward. And if you, sir, are listening to this podcast, you're unhinged. Yeah, I said it. So that is very interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing to have to also like put yourself in. So now it's not even like, okay, I'm grieving the loss of this marriage, this life we saw together, the raising of a child together, but now also like, okay, our obviously vacations are going to look different. And also now I have to think about putting myself in an uncomfortable situation and almost like sacrifice your vacation for others.
Mm-hmm. It's like I have to sacrifice my comfort
so that you can be there to experience that with your kid.
Exactly.
Or do you just grieve that, not go and do your own thing and reclaim it?
You know, these are all things I got a journal about. Apparently I'm supposed to be doing a lot of journaling and self-reflection. And I do love my journal, but
yeah,
we'll see. I got a couple of months to decide, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Or do we just bite the bullet and we do it first? you know when their dates are, so you just be like, oops, sorry, we are on a plane.
Oh, God!
We got on a plane together.
We're on the way.
Okay, that's really interesting. And someone who's like marriageless, relationshipless, kidless, I would have never wrapped my head around like, oh wow, yeah, like it just is going to be a constant thing, right? Because like obviously,
also apology to the viewers if you can hear my stomach growling, it's fine.
I asked her if she wanted snacks and she said water's good, and I said okay,
I had a donut on the way here.
Yum. Okay, interesting. So let's take this and link it to the grieving process.
Yeah.
Have you felt, especially because I feel like I'm allowed to say this, you were the initiator.
Yeah.
Have you felt, because you've shared that with people, that others are like, okay, so like when we get back out there, or do you feel like people have not really brought it up? Like what's the pressure to almost like get back out there, remarry, have more kids? Like have you felt that from people?
Oh,
or
there's definitely been like, oh my God, like we're gonna be in the streets this summer. And I'm like, at the time I was like, I don't even want to be out of my bed, like I don't want to be up and doing anything. And then like there's people who are like, oh, are you so excited to like have more kids and give RJ a sibling? But like there was a whole grieving process that had to happen with that, because like I'm not gonna have any more kids. Like RJ was it. It was a very long road to get him. IVF, right. All of my embryos that are fertilized are fertilized by his father.
Yeah.
And like, that's just not something my body can go through again with like the harvesting and the hormones and all that. So like, every time someone brings it up, I'm like, it's not really an option for me. But I feel like people are just like, I feel like they're trying to be encouraging when they say things like that.
Yeah. I don't think anybody ever comes from a, like, I mean, that's false. Let me take this. I think 90% of people are well-intentioned.
Yes.
I think that there are 10% of people who fucking suck, to be honest, that like, if they want to just like take, like almost like take the advantage of seeing someone else miserable, that they will, which is crazy, but wild. Like, whatever, do you, boo. I do think people, it's probably like, oh my gosh, like, you clearly weren't happy. You've taken a step to like maybe get yourself back to a place of peace and happiness. So like, obviously that means like, we're going to get out there.
Yeah.
But it's also like, but that wasn't an easy decision.
Exactly.
And healing takes time.
Exactly. And it also depends on who it's coming from. So if you were like, let's be in these streets this summer, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's be in these streets this summer. But like some rando I haven't talked to in a decade, I'm like, ma'am.
Right.
I don't even want to talk to you about it. But like, I just give like the general like, oh, you know, it was a hard decision, but it was the best decision for me. And like, I also didn't like tell anyone I was getting divorced. Like, I was very quiet about it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once it was plastered all over Facebook, I kind of had to.
Yeah.
I kind of had to fess up and like talk to people. But that was like another thing I felt was kind of robbed from me, because like, there were people I wanted to share. Like, I didn't even get to tell you, like,
no, I could kind of like read through the lines. Yes. I was like, I'm not sure what
we had a conversation where like you sensed it, but like, I didn't get to say like, hey, it's official. Like, hey. And like, there's some people who didn't know at all.
And also, it's no one's fucking business.
Exactly.
Right. So like, if you wanted to come to me and tell me, amazing. And like, yes, I was like, I'm not sure what's happening from like, just like, you know, we know social media. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you can read people, especially when you've had social media with the same people for 20 years. You know,
and
how
they're posting some inspirational quotes about moving on.
Truly, it's like, you know how certain individuals operate on social media. So when the vibe changes, the vibe changes. Which, like, honestly, going back to when I started sharing about grief on social media, that's fucking why. Because I was like, if I don't share about this, I am lying through my teeth to people. Right. Like, my mom was present on my social media and then she's gone. So I'm just going to continue to share the good things. No,
exactly.
So like, you figure out when people are going through things.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that wasn't anybody's shit to share but your own, mm-hmm. especially without asking. And then it forces your hand to have the conversation maybe you weren't ready to have yet.
Yeah. And then it restarts. Like, you think you're at one point in the grieving process, and then like, you teeter back to somewhere where you were, especially because I found out I was officially divorced on Facebook. Like, that is how I found out, was a picture of my
We'll take a Zoom in on
Facebook. And apparently there was a text that had been sent before that I didn't get because the service wasn't good. But I happened to like log on to Facebook and I was like, what is that?
And nobody waited for a response before posting.
And then like two minutes later, my friend texted me a picture of the Facebook post. And I was like, oh, no, I've seen it. I'm processing it. And then it was like this whole thing of like, that doesn't need to be up there. Like, if you're changing your status, whatever, we don't need our paperwork posted for the masses to see. Like,
no, you don't put your birth certificate on the internet. You don't put that. You don't put your marriage license on the internet. You don't put that on the internet. That is some. I don't even know how to process that myself, but bless you for not losing your shit.
You know, I just, like, and if you did, take it down, because it's just,
it's too much. It's too much. And as someone who feels like she overshares, honestly, for the greater good, but I try to over, you know, I try to be very honest with, but it's only me affecting myself. I mean, there are even things that, like, I don't talk about out of respect for my sister, or do I just try? I always have, like, her in the back of my mind of how maybe she doesn't necessarily want our whole life story out there. I don't know. But me sharing, oversharing about my life is one thing. Oversharing about two people and a whole family unit.
Yeah. And that's, like, the other thing, too. It's like, I felt like
not nice.
am still considerate. Like, the things I want to say that I don't say because I'm like, all right, I don't need to be petty on the internet. Or, like, things that I just feel and...
I mean, even now, now we could be letting it rip, and I feel like you're really trying to like be respectful and,
you know, in some days it's keeping it together harder than others.
Yeah.
Today it's, we're okay. But some days I just want to be like, you know what? And just post and then I don't.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm trying to like show the healed me off. But sometimes the unhealed me is out here like.
But also, like, you're just healing.
Exactly. Like, I have not finished. I don't think I'll ever be finished.
And the more of that shit that happens, it just, like, kind of, like, re-puts, like, you know, rips the Band-Aid right back off.
I always like to say, like, grief is not linear. It's like a...
Of course
kind of thing. So, like, it's not like I'm just, like, going through the process and I hit each step. And I'm like, oh, look, I'm past the anger stage. I'm in this stage now. No. I go back and forth.
Also, the stages of grief are bullshit, I think. Because I think all the emotions are all at once.
Yes.
And because we're like humans and we like to analyze and like make things logical and make sense, we've broken it down into like, these are the feelings you might feel, but you don't feel them. It's in steps.
That's my whole thing.
You feel them all at once.
I was like, I feel sad
and
angry, but I'm also like accepting it. So like, dear Stages of Grief article, you are not helping me because
I think
I'm all over the map with this.
Yes. 100%. 100%. And like, again, divorce is such an interesting loss because like, death is final, right?
Yes.
So like, I don't have my parents coming in and out of the grave like and then leaving again, right?
All right, see you later.
Right. Like, they have left and that is what I have to deal with. But to lose the whole, you know, picture and then also still have to like deal with them and then like feel feelings in certain moments, but then you're like, I can't do that, or like maybe missing people but and then seeing that, it's just like, that's I think again, like, not harder, but it's crazy.
It's just different. It's different. Like, it's different because like, you can't compare it, because I feel like you can't be like, my grief is more intense than your grief, like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just, it's different and there's a different process. But even like, oh, this is going to sound so bad.
Let it out.
It was a little bit easier because like, I didn't miss him. Like, I don't miss him. Like, I miss the life I thought I was building. But like, looking back, I'm like, well, that wasn't going to work anyway. But it's like, you still miss, like, there was good times. Like, we had good times, but it, like, overall I'm just like happy that chapter is closing, but then you still got to keep the door open a little bit because you have a kid, so but it's easier when you not don't have affection for the person, but when you just are able to,
the love is gone, which, like, yeah, that makes sense if you're like, no, like, I think I'm good. Really, it's now like the idea of it is just gone. Okay.
That's what it is. It's like the idea. Like, you dream up this life for yourself and then life is like, LOL, gotcha. And you're just like, oh,
life be like that. And it's very annoying. I literally said that out loud the other day. I was just like, life like is annoying. Like, you just like, you go through shit and then, you know, you're like waiting for the day that like it settles, and then you're in the mundane and you're like, this is boring. And I'm waiting for either something really good or really bad to happen.
Always waiting for the other shoe to drop, always.
And I don't know if that's normal, but that's how I feel.
That's where we're at.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop, truly. I'm like, is it a good shoe or a bad shoe?
Yeah,
you know. And that's annoying because it is.
Yes, it is.
I've got nothing else to add to that. It's just like, that's an annoying feeling.
Yes.
You know what I also think is interesting? When you look at divorce depicted in like movies and television, it's very much like, we're either like so great, so it's like an amicable co-parenting situation, or it's like hatred
and rage and like despise.
Do you feel that there is a place of indifference?
Yes.
Like, does that exist?
It exists, but you have to do the work to get there.
Okay.
Like, a shout out to my therapist again.
We love this therapist.
We love her. We're working on getting to a place of indifference. So, like, my goal right now is to not even set expectations for behavior of this other person. Leave them in the dirt. So if something happens, I can be pleasantly surprised, but I'm not using that as the standard because I need to become indifferent to these things. I need to stop giving reactions. I need to stop leaving space for a back and forth. I just need to be like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. And I'm getting better with doing that. I don't know if intentionally we do things to try to get a reaction from me, but it feels that way sometimes. He was never the best at reading rooms or situations. So sometimes I'm just like, sir, but then I just have to remember, like, you need to control your reaction because that's all you can control in this situation.
Truly.
And just let it roll off.
I try to apply that to my life, period.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I have been in, I don't know what made me finally get to that place. I don't know if it was, like, friendships or, like, the expectation.
Yeah.
Of, like, I do for you, but you don't do for me. Yeah. I don't know where that came from, and I've lived by it for years. I couldn't pinpoint it to a single person or event. But just of it being, like, if you set the standard low, you'll always be happy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Of like,
because if they perform to the standard you set, you're just like, that's what always happens.
Right.
And then if they notch it up a little bit, you're like, oh, that was nice. But like, I'm not going to keep thinking that's what's going to happen.
100%.
And that's just where I have found myself.
And it really does, when you can get there, bring peace. It brings you peace because you're not wasting energy on something, again, you cannot control.
Yep.
Something, someone, like,
so much about how things are not in my control. Not that like I'm a control freak, but like I hate when someone else has a hold on like my emotions or like can control my emotions. So like I'm regaining that power of like how I react to things, and I'm just like it took a lot of work though. It took a lot of work because there were some blackout moments where I'm just like rage texting or rage screaming, and I'm like, who is this helping? Because you're not getting your point across, because you're talking to someone who's never going to see your point of view,
right?
Or will be like, oh, I see what you're saying, but X, Y, and Z are the reasons I'm doing what I want to do anyway, and
right,
I'm not going to change my mind. So like, what am I wasting my energy for?
Right.
What am I wasting it for?
100%. It's like, if my kid is safe and my kid is taken care of, like, exactly, that's all I can worry about.
Exactly.
You know, period.
And RJ is a gem, so, you know.
He's cute.
Shout out to my baby.
He's so cute. He's so stinking cute. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have an example? What's the craziest shit someone has said to you post-divorce?
Oh my God, there's been
about moving on.
There has been...
Has anyone said anything to you where you were like, what? Because, like, you know, again, like, nobody's ill-intentioned. So, like, you know, I'm sure you've heard, like, oh, so, like, are you going to date again? Like,
yeah.
A million times.
A million times.
Like, it's annoying. So, like, let's think about that, listeners, the next time we do it. I mean, I'm sure I've done it to someone because, like, I'm coming from such an inexperienced place with that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, literally, I've had, like, oh, boyfriend. So yeah, we just like don't let people in this shelter that I have created. We don't let people in, so I can't speak from experience or act from experience in that way. I can't with people who have like lost, like death lost. So I'm sure I have been the annoying person to be like, okay, so like when are we going out? But has anyone said anything else besides like that kind of
it's vibe? Mostly just been that, but like then also sometimes you get
oh, I can't wait.
I feel like this is not gonna go over well. But like the what were you thinking? I don't know what you were doing anyway, because you just wasted 10 years of your life of someone that wasn't even for like I never liked them from the beginning. Da-da-da-da. Like that whole thing, and I'm like,
you were red for filth.
Yeah. And I was just like,
well, because it's offensive.
It is offensive because I will never say it was a waste of my time or I regret it because I got my kid out of it.
Right.
So, but it's just like, and again, these are people who I think have good intentions.
Right. Trying to hype you up.
Trying to hype me up. but then also being like, you're fucking stupid that you spent this long with them. Like, how did you even last that long? Right. And I'm like, oh God. All right. Well, now I'm feeling a little self-conscious about my decision-making skills and all of that. But
well, and I get like, it came out the whole marriage, like it came out of a relationship you were obviously happy in.
Yes.
You know? So like at some point that was like the choice you made.
Yeah.
So yeah, to have someone pass judgment on it is not great.
And almost be like, I can't believe you were so stupid without actually, yeah. without actually saying it. You're just like,
yeah, not the vibe.
Oh, I, okay. Well, I already feel stupid and all these other emotions and feelings. And thank you for letting me know I should.
Right. There's almost like a, that thing in any decision where like you need tough love, but you don't need tough love.
Yeah.
Where you're the tough love, you're already doing it yourself.
I am. So then doing
someone comes out and says the same thing you're already thinking. It's actually like annoying. It's so annoying.
Like, I'm already ripping myself apart. I already know.
I got it. I don't need to hear it from someone else, but it's like true. And if you're that person who's like worried or in the background, like I just like, I don't know if this is like the right decision for this person. There's a way to go about sharing that without the judgment portion.
Yeah.
I can't believe you or I didn't like the whole time. It's just be like, hey, checking in on you.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Like, how is everyone? How are things at home?
Yeah.
And then you like ask a little more maybe. And then as like I've just come to really dig into is like people don't fucking listen enough.
They don't.
Then you listen to the answer and then from the answer you ask another question and then you listen again and like maybe that person will start to open up to you more about the things that are really going on or the things that they need advice from, or maybe it doesn't seem like you needed advice. It seems like you came to your own conclusions.
Yes.
Right.
And again, like it's also sometimes like who that kind of stuff comes from.
Yes.
Because like when I'm with like our group of friends and like people obviously say things and they're hyping you up, you're like, hell yeah, like my hype girls, like this is it. But like when it comes from certain people, you're like,
right,
all right. And you're also like beating yourself up so much already, like that you're like, all right, I'm a dummy. Like,
right. Like no one wants to, I don't think, right. Even when you make the final decision, it's your choice. It's your decision. Wants to get divorced.
Yes. No one spends all that damn money on a big ass party
to then.
And then says, you know what I'm going to do in 7 years down the road?
Yeah.
Get a divorce.
Yeah.
Like no one puts in all that effort just to be divorced. Right. Like that is not the end goal, obviously. So.
Right. Yeah. No, that's so real. Like, there's a difference between hyping someone up and then, like, backhand compliment.
Backhanded compliments.
Like, that's almost what it is.
What it is. Like, you're dumb as shit, but, like, hope you get back out there, girl. You can do it.
I don't know what you were thinking, but you are the smartest person I know.
But you're pretty, so it's okay. You'll be all right. I'm just like,
damn. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah, and, like I said, I don't think it's malicious. Maybe a couple of people that I haven't talked to a long time that came, like, I think they were just trying to like dig and get information. And I'm
also like y'all nosy bitches. Period.
Nosy.
I mean, that happened to me with my mom.
Like, which is like disgusting, but okay.
Like, first of all, if we haven't talked enough that you need to ask if my mother was sick, then shh. And then when the answer is no, don't continue to ask questions. Because if you haven't talked to me long enough that you need to, like, you can't even reach out to my sister, my family, whatever. You're reaching out to other friends to be like, was she sick? Well, then what happened? And the which, like, of course, like, it came out of nowhere. So I'm sure lots of people were asking what happened. But it's just like, there are just certain people. And maybe that's just, like, knowing your place.
Yes.
Accepting where your friendships are at. Also figuring out what other people you can, I don't know. The fishing.
They're like, oh, but what happened? Clearly, if it was something I wanted to or could, in your case, share details of, like, that may be happening once you get to that point.
Right.
But if you're not talking about it, why are we digging?
Right. Like, if you are in the close enough circle that you, like, maybe already kind of can sense something's going on or whatever, like, mind your own business. Okay?
All right.
Or you better find out from people who aren't then going to be like, you know who effing asked
yeah,
me?
Yeah, who
blank.
Aren't going to come back
Don't
and tell
ask
you.
The close circle. Get it from like the outskirts. Get the wrong information from other people. Get
the outskirts?
Yeah, like get the rumor. Don't get the real stuff. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like so bizarre.
It is bizarre. And like, I don't know why people's brains are wired that way.
Yeah. Especially with something so personal. Right?
Dude. But also like, to ask those questions, but also couldn't pay their respects to your mother. Like, all right, I'm about to get on a tangent, so I'm gonna stop myself. But
got there's plenty to dig into here, you guys. People are cray cray,
unhinged.
Yeah. The fishing for information and all that. And also it does, again, doesn't like help the person who needs to grieve and heal.
Yeah.
Now we're like in a tailspin about like, what are people saying? What are people doing? Like, I can't, like, yes. Or then we're like digging in and be like, yeah, you know what's so interesting? Like, she asked XYZ, but like, she didn't fucking show up. So like, are we friends? Like,
yeah.
It really does add a whole nother level and layer to the healing process.
Yeah, that was like for me, like I was wondering, like when random people were coming out of the woodwork, I'm like, oh my God, people are talking about me, like they're
right.
discussing this. And I'm like, I had to really get to a point where I was like, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. There's only two people that know what actually
right.
happened. So what is it really going to change if this one random person is saying this or that about it?
Right.
Like nothing. Right. It's not going to change anything. But also like, y'all.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
Like, truly.
If I wanted to talk to you about it, I would talk to you about it.
Right.
And like, there's like the people that ask you and you have to give like the very generic, like, oh, I'm just moving on and being happy. But then people also want to know like your plan. Where are you living? Where are you going to move? What are you going to do? What are you going to change your job? Da, da, da. And I'm like, can I like process that this is happening
right.
first before you ask me like, what's my 5-year plan? Because I don't got one.
Right. Like the only person who really should be asking you that question is like your mom.
Literally,
because like she's your mom and she's where, like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so now my kid and my grandkid, like, what are we doing? She's the only one who has the right,
yes,
you know what I mean, to be like, okay, and your sister, like, okay, let's talk about the plan. That's like only their space.
Yes. Shout out to Joyce and Kanisha, like okay. The rocks, like, wouldn't have made it.
Always
like,
been the real ones.
Day ones. Always. But like, it's just like, yeah, like people are like, so what's your next move? And I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even...
To move into the next day as, like, a single person.
Yes.
Like, to wake up and be like, okay, I'm not married today.
Yep. Like, which was so, like, bizarre. Like, the first time that, like, I woke up in, like, my new place in, like,
right.
a bed without anyone, like, in it with me. And I was just like, oh, this is interesting. Like, I wasn't sad about it. I was just like...
But
this
like,
is different.
Truly, any move feels weird, yep. right? So like, you move into a new space as a single person, a married person, whatever. It's a new day. It's a new move. It's a new change. You've got stuff everywhere. Like, anybody yep. who has moved knows that feeling. So also to know that it was a move that like you didn't see coming, and the person you should be moving with isn't there.
Yep.
That day alone is just like a lot to take in.
Yeah. And I had like just... I had been at my mom's recovering from like a knee replacement. So like...
Right.
I came back and like... He had packed all my stuff and like moved all my stuff. Like, thank you for like moving into the house so I didn't have to. But like, then there was the whole panic of like unpacking my boxes and not knowing where stuff was and not
right.
having it packed the way I would have packed it. So then I'm like having mental breakdowns every 3 seconds over that. I'm just like,
yeah.
Or like coming home and like all of my big framed wedding photos were laying in the middle of my bed. And I said,
no.
I said, why are these ooh, here?
Ooh, what am I going to do with these?
He's like, oh, I just didn't know if you wanted them. But for what? For why?
Right.
What? Why?
Like, do you want them?
Yeah. And there's like things that like I was just like, take us to the recycling center that now I'm like, oh, like RJ may ask one day like, oh, and I'm going to have to be like, let me go back in the past to Facebook and see if I can pull up a wedding picture of you.
And
of
like,
me.
Thank God for Facebook for that.
Yeah.
But. Do you think that this would have been maybe a little different without social media?
Yes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because the people I wanted to know would have known.
Yeah.
Everyone would have been in the know. And it would be a lot less like, oh, I was getting like lots of random screenshots from like his Facebook from people like, look at this, look at that, look at this. And I'm like, trust, I've already seen it. Like, I cannot block or delete this man on social media. He is the father of my child. Like, we have to stay in communication. But then it's just like, again, depends on who it's coming from.
Right. And also, like, are you that friend? Are you the person who should be screenshot and sending?
Exactly.
Like, know your place. It's like, I think that that is like a theme that I'm just coming across of like, hey, everybody, do some self observations, go inward. Am I that friend that should be saying blank? Am I the friend that should be screenshotting and sending like very sensitive things to this person? Like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
I know I'm not that person that should be doing that. If I did, I'd be like, I feel like it got up there so fast and it's going to come down that I want to make sure she saw it.
Yes.
I never would, because you have a sister.
Yeah.
Who's on Facebook. You have siblings, cousins, those people. I'm like, I'm not really that friend that should be doing that.
Except you can be, because they've all.
So you can
be that friend.
Okay. So now I can be that.
Now
I know I'm the most. I'm top tier social media eyes.
Top tier. So.
Eyes on
the ground.
I'm ready for Inspector Gadget. But it's just like, know if you're that friend.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, like friends, like, again, asking questions about my mom. Are you that friend?
Yeah. Like, if I'm already like in misery about something and then I pick up my phone and open it and I'm like, oh, look, the thing that I was already upset about or sad about or feeling stressed about. Like, oh, let's just.
85 texts about the same thing that you've already seen.
Literally. And like some of them, like I'm responding to because they're people like our circle that I would be like, oh, yeah, da, da, da.
Well-intentioned.
Other people who I'm like, who are you? Like, where did you come from? Out of the woodwork. Ooh, wow. Edit. Out of the woodwork to try to get information. Like, I can tell when you're genuine and when you're not. And it's just like annoying.
And even if it is, if you have not spoken to someone in even 2 years, a year, don't. That's not your place. No. It's not your place. If you haven't talked to this person in 3 months, not your place. So just like go inward.
Just reflect.
Reflect. Go to therapy and find out if you're that friend, because you're probably not.
Yeah.
That's cray cray.
It's also like the amount of things I come across on social media and I'm like, but I don't send them to the person because we're not on that level. Like, I'm trying to know my place.
Right.
And it's not in your business.
Right. It's just like personal space.
Yeah.
It's like if you wouldn't infringe on this person's personal space at a party, don't infringe on my personal space into my cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, like I just wonder if this healing process, the healing thing would have been easier 20 years ago when Facebook didn't exist, when everything didn't exist. I think social media is a blessing and a curse because I think it's opened conversations up for so many things. But it also does create like a weird chaos and a weird panic around certain things. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just be curious. I mean, I did grieve 20 years ago, but I was also 14. So like, well, I guess I would have had like
the
Snapchat.
Process is way different than as an adult.
You know, like I know that my friends from school knew with my dad because like they figured it, but it just like was different.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure if I had a cell phone at 14 now, it'd be like, everybody from the school be texting.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We're besties. Right. But
I'm just curious how that looks.
Like, but yeah, it's like in the beginning, like you open social media and you're like, oh, there's a picture of my ex. And then like, as time goes on, you're like, there's a picture of my ex, but they're a new person. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of my ex and my kid with this new person.
Right.
Like, look at this experience they're having together. Like, I wanted to have that experience with my kid. And now here's this other person who has kind of just like slid in to my place and is having these experiences with my kid. And now because the whole living situation is the way it is, I'm like, oh, there's another person there. And then to have to think about that constantly, but then also see it like on social media is difficult.
Right. Like you already know.
Yeah.
But now you have to see.
Yep.
Yeah. Like just, I'm curious how everything would have felt 20 years ago before the instant in front of your face kind
of. And I will say, like, I feel like too, like you said, blessing and curse, because like sometimes I come across like really inspirational stories of other people on social media that I might not have heard otherwise. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Like,
right.
Like you have like sharing your story, I'm like, you know what? Then I can talk about like my grief and my issues and my whatever, because yeah. I'm like, she's doing it. I'm so proud of her. I'm going to do it too. Like,
because if people talked more and listened more, maybe like we want to piss each other off. Yeah.
And then we could be those friends that send the screenshots and that ask questions. Like, right. We would be in those positions if we.
Yeah.
People are wild.
Yeah, they really are. Okay. Well, I guess my final question for you, because I feel like this has been a good episode.
Yes, ma'am.
My question would be, if you had any advice for someone going through a divorce, about to maybe make the decision, and how they can take a step forward, like, what would you say? Like, what is something you needed to hear from somebody?
I think I just needed to hear, like, it's going to be okay. Mm. Like, it hurts now, but you're going to get there. Like, it sucks right now, but it's not always going to be like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're leaving the situation to do better and be better and have a better life, and it's going to get there. It just takes time. Like, it's not going to be this overnight thing where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm happy and single and living my best life. But, like, you will get there.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just what I needed to hear from people. Like, my mom and sister were constantly like, it's bad now, but, like, you're going to look back at this and you're going to be able to just be like, I did it. And, like, I've had plenty of times where I'm like, this is the worst thing of my life and I'm never going to get through it. And I've gotten through all of those things. So, like, I'll get through this too.
Right.
So it'll happen.
It'll happen. We'll get through it. All right. Well, we got to cheers our water. To getting there.
To getting there. I love
cheers.
That. Cheers. Is that ASMR? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Water Samar. Water Samar.
Love that.
All right, y'all. Well, that's this episode.
Stay tuned for the next one. That's all I got.
Bye.
Bye.